Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
December 10th, 2018. Welcome to another Monday on the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. It's the Bish and Bick show this week. The two-man shows have started for about a month. Christmas vacation's kicking in. JP and Cakes will be off this week. JP's going to need a couple weeks to recover from Friday. We'll get into that soon. The show, by the way, is brought to you by the good people at EMP 180 Weight Loss. Yeah, I'm not used to saying that. It's EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. The Alexandria location is open and taking appointments. And the only way you can take 106.7 The Fan with you is on the radio.com app. Download it today. Listen to us anytime, anywhere. 800-636-1067 is the number. Of course, you can text me on the zip line at that same exact number. A lot of skins talk today. And believe me, if I didn't have to talk to to Bickle about it for 4 hours, I wouldn't even watch him. But we have to, and we'll get into it. We won't break down the game as much because there's no point, but we'll talk about the future of this franchise and some of the decisions that need to be made ASAP. We'll also talk to John Keim, D'Angelo Hall, and Seehoff, our beat reporter, recap week 14. A lot of unbelievable finishes, crazy finishes, upsets yesterday. Jump into some other topics as well. But
how are you, Rick?
Good.
Have a good weekend?
Good weekend. Went to a couple Christmas parties on Saturday. Friday went to... Oh, I got to thank my good friend Team Seymour at the Palm. Treated me like a VIP on Friday over there.
Didn't JP also go? Did he have something, or did he go the week before?
I know that he had, like, a concert that he went to.
Well, he had something, yeah.
Oh, he did? I thought that was his wife. I thought his wife was going to the Clint Black concert. I think JP was probably laid in bed all Friday night.
Well, he was here. After the show Friday, which, by the way, the last hour of the show I don't even have a recollection of. I honestly don't remember, and that never happens to me. I went to the bathroom, found the couch on the way out, fell asleep for 3 hours. It felt like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Literally, I thought, well, I'll just take a little nap here. Mm-hmm. And I woke up 3 hours later.
Now, was your Lyft waiting for you? Had you already?
No, because it's up to me to order it.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to have to chill before I could go.
Okay, I got you.
And then I woke up, I come in here, and I see Drabby and Valdez. Just and they have this kind of dumbfounded look. And I go, what's wrong? What's going on? And then I notice JP's like a piece of furniture sitting right there on all fours, just passed out on all fours. I've never seen a person sleeping that way.
Right.
And
just miserable.
Apparently he had been that way for like the whole time, throwing up and just whatever. And then, you know, eventually I left.
So this was after your nap?
Oh yeah, after 3 hours later after my nap.
Okay, so this is at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Right. And he's on his hands and knees.
Passed out. I literally walked by him like furniture. I didn't even see him.
He looked like an ottoman.
You look like you could go sit on him. And then
by the way, you're shortchanging your nap.
I think it was 3 hours.
No. Well, it was 3 hours. But Jason, Eric was taking a nap in the middle of a radio telethon.
Oh yeah, because Elzol had their
radiothon. Well, I had to find a couch. The couch is in the hallway. Yeah. I mean, if the telethon extended the hallway, sure. But they were right behind us in the glass.
Did anybody try and wake you up?
No. And I could, you know how when you're sleeping, you can hear people talking. So I could kind of hear people talking the whole time. But I honestly thought I was there for 20 minutes.
They were working around them.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, people could have been nice and just moved the couch with me on it. Move me down the road a little bit. Move me down the hallway. But,
all right. So you come back in here.
Come back in here. He's like on all fours. I'm like, oh, man, he is banged up.
Okay.
And then eventually I go home. And then a couple hours later, I think he did venture out. And then I heard him on the radio yesterday. So I'm sure he was fine. But I told you we wouldn't be able to beat him. And I tried to beat him in the last hour.
You did.
Last 2 hours.
But you gave it a strong finish, but he was literally taking any cup on the table and drinking it.
And my understanding is
all of the shots that the guys from Bonefish, Dave and Paul, were giving us, I wasn't doing them.
Yeah, your cakes both weren't.
Right. Well, he was doing all of them.
Yeah.
He was just taking cups, just downing them left and right. He really wanted to win the 5-unch that I grabbed out of my crack.
And then the other thing that kind of jumped out at me, though, is so I did everything they gave me. You know, mm-hmm. I was having fun. Cakes, I guess, wasn't. JP was going during the breaks and getting extras. So he was getting extras too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was sneaking off, and then the guys from Bonefish were feeding him shots.
Oh, really?
He was just downing them.
Yeah. I mean, he must have done 12 shots.
I don't know what he did, but he did.
He said 12 shots.
I think he had 4 right before the final breathalyzer.
That's
like in a span of like 30 minutes.
Well,
he had like 4.
So that's why he blew a .19, which is just hammered.
Oh.
And I was drunk as I can remember.
I don't remember the numbers. Maybe you do.
You had like a .10 or something.
Okay.
I remember the numbers.
You were
in
last, Jason.
You were in last. You were nursing it because you knew you were going
out
to
dinner. And it was weird because you started so quickly, too. Like, you were just...
I don't think he had a drink the last 2 hours.
He was like a tenth of a...
I was sipping, but I wasn't doing the shots.
You were like a tenth of a point behind JP at like 8 o'clock or like the second round of them. And then all of a sudden, you just shut it down.
But who knows? This could be skewed because you take a drink right before you blow in and it gets on the little...
That could be skewed, too, but you're right. But JP was the most hammered by far, and he blew the biggest number. But what shocked me, though, is, and I blew a .13-something, and I was drunk, and I'm telling you, I don't remember the last hour of the show at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people show me video highlights and stuff, and, you know, on my Twitter, all these quotes, and sure, but I don't remember any of it. Cakes, meanwhile, wasn't drinking any of the shots. He was just drinking that Aslan beer.
Mm-hmm.
He blew a .16. He blew past me. Significantly past me, and everyone else here said he was acting normal.
You know,
you couldn't even tell he was drunk.
Compared to you guys.
Cakes might be a closet alcoholic.
That's the point.
Well, he drinks the beers every night.
He drinks 3 beers every night.
Yeah,
his tolerance or whatever is crazy because he blew a .16, significantly more banged up than me, and I could barely walk. I had to nap for 3 hours. Cakes went downstairs, forgot something, came back up, gave it a drive. He went back downstairs like it was nothing.
And then he was out of here, yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Now, did you go home and sleep as well?
I just kind of laid out. I didn't do much. I went to a friend's house, but I don't think it was that day. I ran some errands later in the afternoon. But, I mean, it was just like
mellow. But you just chilled Friday night.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't have to throw up or anything, but I didn't feel, I didn't feel great. I just felt tired and, Then one thing I did do is I took a hot bath. That was a bad idea. That set me back about an hour because I think it dehydrated me.
Yeah. So don't we have to go even further on JP because he was on his hands and knees, but
I left.
But
so
other
I don't know
stuff
what,
happened.
I don't know what happened after that. I think he was just here another couple hours.
Well,
he was throwing up.
At one point.
Well, that's what I mean.
He was throwing up from what I understand. I never saw it.
That was the biggest part of the story.
At one point, it was 2:30 on Friday, and me and Drab were still here kind of watching over him, and we're looking at each other going, how long do we have to stay? Then we ended up just throwing him in CK's office.
Uh-huh.
And he was just laying face down, and he ended up taking a shower at 4 o'clock, and then leaving by 4.
Oh, he took a shower downstairs.
Yeah, downstairs. And CK gave him all the free radio station shirts and everything
because
so he could change out of his
puke
shirt.
Was there vomit all over his shirt and
all over? Because what he was doing is he was laying face down in the studio on the floor. He was puking and then rolling around in his puke like a pig.
Oh,
we had to get the janitors up here to steam clean the entire
great.
Studio.
So great they did that, though.
So that was
everybody. Chad did his show from in here because you couldn't take the smell.
I'm sure he was happy.
he understood.
Oh, my
God. And then Drab and I were holding him when he had to go to the bathroom. Like, we literally had to carry him.
Were you worried that you might have to call an ambulance?
Yes, there was discussion whether or not we should take him to the hospital.
What did the cops say? Like, did they care or they just left?
They were out of here by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, they didn't want to stay.
They had no idea what happened.
Right.
There was a point where JP, Drab and I took JP to the bathroom. He said he had to use the bathroom. So he goes in and he does number 2 in the bathroom.
Where are you guys, right outside?
And so we're right outside, and JP can't even stand. Like we literally had to carry him to the bathroom.
How'd he clean himself?
Well, Drab and I looked at each other, and we said,
"We're not doing
that." I said, "Dude, one of us is gonna have to clean because I don't think he can do it."
There's just no way I would do that.
Now, luckily, JP was able to hook it
right
himself.
Yeah,
I don't think he did a very good
job.
Can
you imagine how miserable he was on Friday when he got home?
I can't imagine. But here's the bottom line.
I would have been so embarrassed.
Here's the bottom line. It was
because you know all the other employees saw it. They had to have
saw
everything that was going on.
Yeah, but he does. He's oblivious. He had no idea.
No, I know, but I would.
But here's the thing. The bottom line is, when I got home, the response I got from Buddy is the best drinking show we've ever done. Right? Because everyone got so hammered and had so much fun.
Right.
But we can't ever do that again. Where we have that. What put it over the top was the incentive for the money. That's what put it over the top. Because every, you know, even for just for shots or whatever, we wanted a couple extra $100.
All right, so we got to back off the monetary.
If we want to do the holiday drinking show, it has to be sort of at our own pace.
Yeah.
He'll blow a
because
nice
every
point
single Christmas show, he'll do that exact same thing.
He won't be able to contain himself. Maybe next year he'll slut. But it's just, you can't put the money incentive in front of us.
Well, he was telling us how he's never going to do that again. But, right. But who knows? If he'll,
who knows a year from now? Yeah. But you can't put the money incentive in front. Because it's just, you know, someone's going to die.
Right. Probably him.
And we've done 15 years of holiday shows or more and never really had a big problem. But as soon as we put the money incentive, which made it more fun, it also made it incredibly crazy.
Well, that's only happened twice, right? Because Cakes grew up
one
once.
But that wasn't for money,
that
was it?
That wasn't for money, no. Yeah. This was the first year
that
money was
involved. That was just youthful indiscretion.
And then, of course, on Friday, JP does it.
Right. But again, so JP clearly obliterated, hating it, going to pay for it. I don't remember ever not remembering something. And it's not like I passed out. And I don't remember. I participated in the last hour of the show, and I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Bruce coming in. D texted me, and he said, the guy that sings always slays me. Yeah. And I go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I have no recollection of it.
He was good. I think he did a couple songs.
Yeah. He actually texted me yesterday, too. What charities does he owe? Because he was throwing out some stuff, so we'll have to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He owes a couple thousand.
I know he is donating to Nick Sundberg's charity and Alex Smith's charity.
Right.
All right, so I'll text him that.
And there's one more. I don't know. I can't remember.
And then, you know, just Cakes just being a quiet drunk. Just out drinking two of us quietly, just drinking beer. Mm-hmm. Blowing
well, the Aslan beer isn't like your regular Miller Lite.
It's very strong.
I mean,
beer.
Like some of the stuff he was having is like 8%, and then I know they have like a 15% beer that they dropped off. So,
well, I can tell you this: I blew 0.13, and I.
But if Cakes was walking around after the show and said, "All right, I'm going to drive home," and I didn't see him drink all those beers, I'd probably say you're probably fine
because you didn't even. Because
I was oblivious to it since he hides
that's
it so
my
well.
Point. When I
functioning
when I left here to go to the bathroom, as I was walking, I was going, "Oh man, I am banged up."
Right.
That's why immediately after I went to the bathroom, I said, I got to find a couch to sleep on.
Yeah.
Cakes blew a 0.16, right? I don't even know what percentage that is higher, 1.6 to 1.3. Right. And he's walking around like nothing happened.
And probably could have passed the field test.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, I went home.
Crazy.
I went home, took a nice 2.5 hour power nap. And then, you know, I was a little groggy the rest of the day, but I was good. Went out to dinner on Friday night. Was home relatively early. But
Timmy took care of you.
Timmy
felt
Seymour.
Like a rock star when
Timmy
you were there.
Timmy Seymour. I love that guy. Had the best sea bass I've ever had. But I was fine. And then, you know, Saturday I had a couple Christmas parties. Mm-hmm. My wife was just Dunsky.
Oh, she was JP'd?
Oh my gosh. We had to leave the party early.
Was she drinking wine? Champagne?
Yeah,
and all that?
She was getting into all of it. Yeah. No, mostly wine.
Right.
I mean, she was having a good time, but luckily the second party was our next door neighbor's house.
So that was the easy.
And she did the old Irish goodbye. She just rolled out.
Right.
And
and you stayed?
No, I stayed for like another 20 minutes. Then I was home.
Right.
But then she had another happy hour last night, a white elephant party with her girlfriends.
Right.
The same cast of characters that just go out and get house all the time.
Right.
And I said, look, I know how you feel because she slept all day Saturday and all day Sunday. I said, know how you feel. Just keep it easy. Have a couple beers if you drink. She goes, I'm going to be home by 8 o'clock.
Right.
Because she's got to get up early today with the kids and everything. So I'll be home by 8 o'clock. 11:30.
Oh, no. Are you texting her going, is it all right?
No, because I'd fall asleep. I just knew whenever she goes out with those girls, she's not getting home when she says she's going to get home.
Right.
Might have been after that, actually. It was definitely at least 11 o'clock.
Right.
And she was banging into things.
Well, I wish I was as banged up on Sunday as I was on Friday, so I didn't have to remember
so
that Redskins
right
game.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Because I did watch it, and unfortunately I do remember it. So
what a
why don't
complete
we do this?
Mess they are.
Come back, we'll talk about it a little bit. You know, there's only so much of that stupid game we can belabor. But then we'll start to look at the longer term ramifications of where we go from here. So a lot to talk about. You know, it's and Jason and I.
You can give us a call, too, 800-636-1067. We'll be taking calls throughout the show, but we'll get right into that that debacle yesterday over at Landover.
I actually thought Josh Johnson was pretty good. You know, clearly got to start him.
Much better than Sanchez.
Clearly got to start him next week.
Absolutely. 800-636-1067 is the number. We are the Junkies on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
.800-636-1067 is the number. If you want to chime in on anything regarding the Skins from yesterday and going forward, 40-16, the Giants will win this in a laugher. It was 34-0 and a half. My daughter actually went to the game. With her friend and her friend's parents and you know, older brother, and they all left at halftime. They said, we're out. Mm. And I'm sure a lot of people were doing that yesterday. You know, just based on watching the game, it looked like there was mostly Giants fans there anyway. I'm sure it was about half
what
and
I
half.
Heard is, so Rick Snyder always likes to guesstimate the real attendance. And what he thought was about 30,000 fans-ish total, which is just staggering too when you think about it.
Right.
10,000 Redskins fans, 20,000 Giants fans.
Yeah, that's what it looked like watching the game. And it's a misery Monday, and I think we're going to have three more of these, but maybe not. You know, they're going to make a quarterback change. Sanchez was terrible. Josh Johnson comes in off the street and goes 11 for 16.
So I will agree with the commentators, whoever it was, Dale Johnson, whoever it was. Sanchez didn't get helped early. He had a couple balls, and there were some drops.
He just looked lost.
But he clearly couldn't, you know, Josh Johnson came in, and a guy hadn't played in years, and he came in and actually could move the chains a little bit. So he clearly was an upgrade.
Yeah.
So, and Sanchez,
well, because
wasn't
he could run.
Work.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants defense started playing a little loose there up 34.
Yeah. I'm sure they gave up more stuff,
but Sanchez,
but he was able to take advantage of it. Sanchez wasn't poor guy.
Wasn't good. And he was sacked five times holding the ball too long. But anytime Mark Sanchez would complete a pass, you got to be pleasantly surprised considering he was sitting at home last week. So Josh Johnson comes in and moves the chains a little bit and scores 16 straight points, but and he'll start next week.
Yeah, he'll start. The penalties were devastating. That's the thing that's like hugely alarming. Like even though you have a ton of injuries, you shouldn't have 15 penalties for 135 yards. I think it's the most they've been penalized in a long, long time. Just killing themselves with holdings, false starts, weird penalties. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, only two penalties for the Giants. And by the way, it's not a good Giants team. I mean, they're playing better. But it's not a very good Giants team. And so to just get smoked like that, 40-0 before you can turn things around, one of the most embarrassing games I've ever watched as a Redskins fan. Really, really hard to watch. Really, really hard to stomach. You couldn't stop Barkley. Jason called it, even though they did a great job against him in the first game. Yeah, 14 for 170, a touchdown, 78-yard run.
He ran whatever he wanted.
227 on 34 carries. And the defense just continues to fall off a cliff. They made a few stops early on, but then the route was on. And, you know, I said it last week, you know, I don't like to fire people, and I want everybody to make a healthy living and make as much money as they can. But I would have relieved Greg Minuski of his duties last week just to try to shake things up, because at least offensively, even though that's not all of the issues, but the injuries have been devastating. Defensively, they don't have the same excuse. They have just completely fallen apart. It's a totally different defense than it was 6 or 8 weeks ago with largely the same personnel. It makes no sense. You're getting conflicting reports, too. I mean, DJ Swearinger's all over the place with his complaints. I mean, I would basically throw them out the window at this point because he just says stuff. But, you know, he's blaming the coaches.
He just says something every week.
You got to throw it out. But clearly they don't know how to fix the problem. And you would think in any other organization, we'd be right near at the end of, you know, eventual regime change. But I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, Jerry Brewer this morning, you know, and everyone's doing it, is calling for Bruce Allen's dismissal. Bruce is now 58-82-1 in his 9 years here in control of the Washington Redskins. How much worse does he have to do to get fired? None of us know the answer to that.
Seems to be untouchable.
I think anywhere else, he would have been gone a long, long time ago. There seems to be growing sentiment that this could be finally the year. I know Chris Russell keeps reporting that if nothing else, they'll at least reassign him and take him off all of the football responsibilities of the job. But,
we'll
you know,
see.
What are you going to do with Jay? What are you going to do with his coaches? It's gotten to the point now where you need to just completely clean house.
I mean, you saw some of the bad football teams yesterday, right? Oakland's a bad football team. All right, they're a bad football team. Clearly, you know, going downhill. All right, they win the game. San Francisco's a bad football team. All right, they win the game. Against teams that are still fighting for, you know, obviously Pittsburgh's a division leader. Denver's still in the playoff hunt. These are bad football teams winning games. Washington clearly is a bad football team, but they weren't even competitive.
The thing is,
I mean, they're still NFL players.
Yeah, the thing is it's you don't want to use it as an excuse, but even Jay, I mean, they're down to their fourth quarterback. The third one couldn't do it. They're down to the fourth one.
That is true. And,
you know,
and Oakland's got their starter. But
you know what? San Francisco's getting hurt.
San Francisco's got a third stringer, too.
Okay. Well, we were playing our fourth.
And the fourth was actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, fourth was doing better than the third.
But I'm talking about the defense. It looks like there's no effort.
I don't understand it.
No communication.
And they started out so well, too. First quarter or so, they played pretty good. It all fell apart with the pick six, which was tipped. You know, to Sanchez's credit slash whatever, both of those picks were kind of deflected or dropped balls, but they were devastating.
Correct.
And you just couldn't recover from it. I mean, Johnson gave him some life. He at least gives you a reason to maybe have some hope this week that maybe we can be competitive. But, you know, where do you go from here if you're Dan Snyder? Nobody knows how that guy thinks. Nobody knows what his advisors and the other investors think. So it's a total crapshoot. Anywhere else, there would be regime change. Bruce Allen would be gone. In all likelihood, Jay would be relieved of his duties, and we'd be starting over.
And the other owner would do
it. But we just don't know what's going
to
happen.
I just wonder what goes through Dan Snyder's mind when he goes home at night to his, you know, 40,000-square-foot house on the Potomac River. What does he think? Does he think, you know what, wasn't as bad as people say? Or does he think, I really should make a move, but, man, Bruce is my buddy? I mean, what goes through his mind? He's the owner of the company.
I don't know.
And when you get embarrassed like that.
Because he's an enigma. Nobody knows how his mind works.
That's what
Nobody
it is.
Nobody knows how he thinks. He
I would
do
love
interviews.
To know. I would
Nobody
love
knows.
To know.
Nobody
Doesn't talk
knows.
To anybody. Maybe he just says, screw it. I got enough money. I don't care what happens on Sunday. And maybe just all the outside noise he doesn't pay attention to.
He's got to be completely confused because he's tried to run it, you know, himself, Jerry Jones style. That
well, he
worked.
Doesn't know what he's doing.
But he's tried to do it himself. That didn't work. He's tried to bring in the old legend like a Joe Gibbs that had some mild success, but Joe couldn't wait to get out of here. He's gone the hot coordinator route. He's gone the hot college guy route, the veteran guy like a Shanahan. It just everything he's tried doesn't work. He brings it to Bruce Allen.
It's a disaster.
Who, you know, is supposed to be this veteran league executive, has been around forever, and hand over the reins to him. That didn't work.
But as the owner of the company, right, even if he has no idea what he's doing, which he doesn't, he still has guys around him. He's got voices. And unless the voices
they're mostly
are
yes men, from what I understand.
Okay. Well, there's got to be at least one saying, you know what, Dan? I know he's your buddy, but we got to make a move. We just got a clean house. You would think that would happen if your company is getting embarrassed like it did yesterday.
I mean, eventually he got rid of Vinny, and he appeared to be closer to Vinny than he does Bruce. I mean, I thought he and Vinny were pretty tight. They played racquetball together and everything.
I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't. Now, again, they've had some of the worst luck with the injuries.
The injuries are devastating.
And having to sign guys, you know, off their couches. The offensive line's in shambles. But the defense, relatively healthy, can't make any stops, can't tackle anybody. And there's just no way you should be embarrassed like that 40-16.
All right, why don't
if
we
you're
do
an
this?
NFL player.
People still call in. I want to play some of Jay's clips after the game. I watched the presser after the game on my computer. And just the frustration level. You could just clearly see, especially when Levero started poking at him a little bit. And Tom, I read Tom's column afterwards. Tom said he wasn't trying to piss him off. He was trying to ask him a fair question.
You got to face tough questions when you get beat like that.
But let's just play a little bit. You want to start at the beginning?
I was going to say, you want to start at 6?
So here's the thing. So Levero asks him about the disconnect because at the beginning of the presser, he said something to the effect of, you know, we practice hard. The way we practice is not reflected in the way we played. Our guys compete. They try. But for whatever reason, that looked bad. And then Tom follows up then and goes, well, is there a disconnect?
Let's talk about, you said, like, you had a good week. You guys were ready to compete, but it didn't look that way on the field, so there seems to be a disconnect.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. We have a quarterback that just got here, and we have two offensive guards we named starter yesterday. So there is a disconnect there. There's three of our starting 11 guys that just got here a little bit ago. So there is a disconnect there. We also lost Jordan Reed in the first quarter. There's a major disconnect there. That's four pretty good players or four key players that aren't out there or what have you. So two starting guards, a starting quarterback. I'd say there's a disconnect there.
Hmm. Clearly pissed off.
Defensive. That's the most defensive I've heard him in a while.
Yeah.
I think even just the week before, he's like, yeah, we can't use injuries as an excuse. You know, it is what it is. But clearly yesterday, he's kind of using injuries as an excuse. And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Everything he's saying is true.
That's the way you would fight for your job right there, is to say, look, how can I win games when I've got Josh Johnson as my quarterback and I've got, you know, guys off the street starting at guard?
All right, let's play the first clip where he talks about how they competed, but the quarterbacks weren't ready to play.
Jay, is it kind of crazy to think that, you know, just 4 weeks ago you guys were 6-3 and clear, you know, two games clear in the division. Now you're kind of dealing with this, maybe starting a fourth quarterback next week.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough to deal with, you know. It really is. It's unfortunate. Our guys continue to compete. That product we put on the field today was not a reflection of the guys' work during the week and in practice. However, it did look bad, and it's a reflection of all of us. But I think our players competed and did the best they could. Mark Sanchez, Josh Johnson, you can't say enough about them coming in here in really short notice to try to learn an NFL offense, play on a Sunday with limited reps. So, you know, they competed, did the best they could at the end of the day. We weren't quite ready.
I know you're defending your guys, Jay, and I like you, man. You're a good dude. But that's just not true that they competed and did the best they could. Hmm. The best they could was down 40-0. That's impossible if that's the best you could do.
Yeah. And I think he backed off that at some other times, too. He said he's going to have to look at the film to see. Play the second clip where he is asked if Josh, who came in, they were down 40-0, and actually scored two touchdowns for him. He ran for one, he threw for one, converted two-point conversions, gave him a little life there.
Jay, would Josh Johnson start based on what you just saw a week from now?
Yeah, we'll get Josh ready to go. I think, you know, the element that he brings a little bit, knowing the system, and, you know, he came in here and he was playing a pickup basketball game and came in here and is playing in the National Football League on a Sunday. So hats off to him for picking it up. But fortunately, he's been around me for a while and can handle the terminology and did a pretty good job moving around.
Yeah, I mean, he stood tall in the pocket, threw some nice balls, and then was able to create some stuff with his legs. I mean, clearly, it's a no-brainer. I think everybody watching that game went, well, you got to start him next week.
Well, sure.
Got to start him.
Well, you're not going to win with him, but you got to start him.
Well, that at least gives you a little glimmer of hope, something. Jay was asked if his job is in jeopardy.
You've got 100 injuries, everybody knows, but do you feel your job is in any jeopardy?
Oh, my job's in jeopardy every week. So, you know, I just got to go about and do the best I can, get these guys ready to go, and we'll continue to do that.
And then he's asked, what didn't work with Sanchez? I think this was Hoffman that asked him there. And I think his response was, what did work?
Jay, what did not work for Mark?
What did work? There's nothing that worked. So nothing worked, so everything did not work.
You think that is?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, when you're talking about a quarterback who just got here and you ask me why everything went wrong, there's a lot of different reasons. But we do understand how difficult it is for him to come in a short amount of time to play.
Well, that's why it didn't work. I mean, Mark Sanchez, again, wasn't in the league, and he was sitting around watching games with his buddies, and then he gets called into Ashburn, and now he's starting with guys on the offensive line who haven't played with each other. I mean, it's
having
impossible.
They're having trouble lining up.
It's impossible.
The big story this week was the cadence.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark was having trouble even with the cadence with the guys. That was a bad sign when we were reading that all week. So clearly in over their heads there, down to their fourth quarterback. Maybe they've at least stumbled onto somebody that can get them home here in these last three games, keep it at least competitive, you know, where you're not down 40-0 at halftime. But who knows? I throw up my hands with this team. I have no idea what we're going to have here down the stretch. This is supposed to be the easier part of the schedule.
No.
And this could just be an utter embarrassment the way they bring this thing home.
Well, it just doesn't matter who you're playing.
At this point, it doesn't matter who you're playing.
When you have third and fourth stringers.
Yeah.
And remember, most of these teams have had their starting quarterbacks play with their starting offensive lineman or maybe their backup offensive lineman since July.
Yeah.
Right? Taking all these reps since July.
Right.
Right. And now you're sticking in a third and fourth string guy who they weren't even here, and they certainly weren't at camp, with guys on the offensive line that weren't here, not at camp. That's why it doesn't work.
All right, so what are we going to do? We take out, bang out your calls when we come back. We've got a lot to talk about. We can still kind of update the latest that we've heard on the Alex Smith situation. Last I read last night, they're now saying 6 surgeries that he's had. And to my best understanding, at least as of this weekend, he was still in the hospital. That tells you how dire it's that bad. Situation is over there. It's really, really bad. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers. But we'll bang out your calls. What's your take on the game? Where do you go from here? Do you have a fall guy? Can you make a drastic change? Can you do anything to salvage the season? 800-636-1067. Bang out your calls when we come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.
All right, it's a Misery Monday here on the Junkies, Bishop and Bickle, 800-636-1067. The two-man shows have started. It'll be Eric and I for the entire week, and then we'll take some time off, and then the other boys will come in.
No, I think I'm in 2 weeks in a row, so I'm in next week with JP.
Oh, you are? Okay, I'm sorry about that. 40-16 was the final. Ugly from the start. The team is a complete mess. Your thoughts, 800-636-1067. Let's get into it.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Olney. Hey, Mike, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks. How are you, buddy?
Morning, fellas. I got to admit, I was, after yesterday's debacle, I was not looking forward to this show. I just thought about listening to Friday's show over again. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how anybody keeps their job after yesterday. And I know you guys were just talking about Bruce, maybe that story with the new stadium deal coming out, he keeps his job. But if that guy, Jay, Greg, the whole training staff, I get the injuries, but obviously something is not working and it's time for a change. It's so bad. I've never seen it this bad.
Yeah. No, everybody agrees. Here's the thing. In any other situation, when your general manager is 58 or whatever, president of football operations, whatever they call him, Bruce Allen, when he's 58, 82, and 1 in his 9-year tenure, that gets you fired anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So in any other situation, Bruce would be – it's so funny. We interviewed Bruce for Table Manners about 5 years ago, right? I'll never forget. He came. He was late. He was kind of cantankerous, to be honest with you, off air. He was you could tell he didn't want to be there.
He didn't want to be there.
We got through it, though. He's a very fake person, like a used car salesman.
Did he do that as a favor to someone?
I'll tell you who during the break. He did it as a favor to someone. He sat there with us, was pleasant enough, but I didn't get a good vibe from him. And that from there on out, then we started to learn more and more about him. But that was about halfway through his tenure. It was about 5 years ago or so. I'll never forget at one point we talked about how he let go of Shanny and exactly how you do that. And I think we asked him this on the show, and he looked at me and he said, I said, well, what do you say? You know, like he was a friend of yours. He goes, we're going to relieve you of your duties. Mm-hmm. That was the phrasing. Well, that's what they need to do with Bruce. They need to sit him down and say, Bruce, we're going to relieve you of your duties. Okay. He needs to move on, pack up. There's not a single person in town that would disagree with that at this point. And then you got to find a GM. I don't know how he's going to do that. There's a million candidates out there. I don't know if it's going to be an old retread. Is it going to be like a Scott Pioli, or is it going to be like an Eric DaCosta? I don't know. Is it going to be somebody in-house? I mean, I have no idea how you do that. It's a really difficult hire. Right. And then I think that guy's got to make that next call.
There are search people, you know,
there
search
are people
committees.
That can help you with that. But, you know, we failed.
I mean, you don't have to be completely lost when you do that.
No, you can get people to guide you through it. But then I think whoever the GM is, you give that person, I think in a perfect world, you give him the opportunity. Do you want to make the call? You know, they can make the call on Jay and his staff.
Sure.
And then in all likelihood, they'll want their own guys. And then you start over from scratch.
Well,
that's
the way
what
most,
needs to happen in a normal organization.
Most credible NFL organizations are run that way, correct.
Yeah.
The ones that are winning, that's the way they are run.
What could happen here, maybe in a best-case scenario, is if for some reason Dan sort of bizarrely believes that Bruce is critical to this new stadium deal, which I don't see how Bruce honestly would be critical to anything. But if he is,
but why can't you just be that? That is your job.
So in the best case scenario, maybe for us would be as fans is they just move him to that. Your job is stadium stuff. You're completely out of the football operations part of it. You're not sitting in the booth anymore worrying about replays. You have nothing to do with player personnel. You have nothing to do with the draft. You have nothing to do with anything other than shaking hands and trying to get this stadium thing along.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that could happen.
And then you would never see him or hear from him until the stadium deal is done.
Or ever again. Yeah. And then either you firm up Doug's responsibilities or you bring in a real general manager with the real responsibilities, the full gamut of it.
Start from scratch.
And then you start from scratch.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Eric in Fairfax. Eric, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Well, good morning, boys. How you doing?
What's
hey,
up?
Doing okay.
Okay, so I called him a few times regarding this issue, and you know what? You can't blame anybody but just sheer fate for the injury. So let's just take that off the table, and let's even make the season a total pass to Jay Gruden, because I've never seen two quarterbacks go down with two broken legs. Okay, so we give him a pass for this
season. Though, what do you say about the other four?
No, I got it. So you make a very good point. So here's what I'd like to say. I read Jerry Brewer's article, and he says how the Redskins have this level of toxicity in the organization. That level of toxicity is always going to come from the very, very top. And unless you get rid of Dan Snyder, which isn't going to happen, you're always going to have that level of toxicity below. So no matter what they do, they bring in an old retread, they bring in somebody else who's brand new, up and coming, whatever, it's still going to be a toxic environment. Nothing's going to change. The second problem they've got, which nobody really talks much about, is this new stadium deal. And if you know anything about, read anything about how this is going on, they're trying to slip the funding for the stadium into a spending bill. Now Congress is getting involved because you've got the issue of being highlighted of Reuben Foster and the hashtag MeToo movement, and politicians are wondering how the Redskins can hire. This is going to turn into an absolute disaster. And I will make this prediction that their level of toxicity in and out of that organization is going to keep that stadium deal from going through too. And the NFL cannot be happy about this at all. They're highlighted by one of the worst organizations in the very seat of power where decisions are made about their organization.
Right. Yeah, you might be right.
Thank you. I don't like to think
that
way.
But you still got to make the move.
Yeah, and that's been, people have been saying that for, you know, how long's Dan been here? 20? People have been saying that for 15 to the 20 years. As long as Dan's there, it's not going to work.
He's probably right, though. He hires those type of people.
But if you do luck box your way into hiring the right people and you do stay out of it, I think it can potentially work. But I refuse to just have this viewpoint that for as long as I'm alive and breathing, that the Redskins will never be successful. I refuse to accept that.
Maybe
just because
one
of
out of every, you know, 5-6 years, it's possible.
Well,
but,
if you hire,
but he does have a good point. If there's a toxic nature to the building, that starts from the top, that's probably not going to change.
But you still have to make a change. If he finds his way and luck boxes his way into hiring a great front office person, and then he truly backs off, I think you can win despite that. I think there have been bad owners, bad guys that have won in the NBA and the NFL.
No, of course, yeah.
You know, it can happen, but it takes some good fortune.
And who knows? I mean, if Scott McLuhan wasn't a drunk, then maybe that would have worked out.
That didn't work, though.
It didn't.
Let's go to Jim Chantilly. Jim, what's up?
Hey, good morning, boys. The last caller hit it on the head where he says Snyder's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Of course not.
But for all intents and purposes, Bruce Allen's your CEO. And everyone always talks about, especially when you're in contract negotiations, this is a business, this is a business. When any other business, not just the NFL, but any other business, he'd have been canned long ago.
Of course.
If this was a publicly traded company, their stock would be single digits, darn near zero. You can fire Jay if you want. Personally, I'd keep him around for the entertainment value. He's a great press conference. And if he's a 500-level coach at the Redskins organization, he's probably going to win a Super Bowl somewhere else. But you got to get rid of Bruce. If you don't, you're going to continue to see a dwindling fan base. You do year after year, and I can't see anything getting any better under this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody agrees.
I agree.
I mean, we could all stipulate that Bruce needs to go. There's not going to be a sig. I challenge one person to call in and defend Bruce.
I don't think that person exists.
You get right
exists.
To the front lines. I don't think one person will.
I don't think. Well, I know one.
Well, your babysitter guy?
He's a buddy. He's a friend of the family. But and I wouldn't even fire Jay now. There's no point in firing Jay now.
I suppose. I would have fired Minuski last week at four games
left.
Well,
one of the assistants is different. But there's no point in firing Jay now. You know, you keep the staff together for the most part unless you want to get rid of one or two guys. And then Jay sticks it out until the end of the year. And then you make an entire cleaning of the house and change the entire staff. That's different. But right now, I don't think there's any point. They're not going to win a game. They're going to go 6-10. And they're going to draft somewhere in the middle of the first
round. I'm not convinced of that.
I know, you're still holding on hope.
If they play like they did last week, they will not win a game. But I
don't know
why. They have to play better at some point.
Why? They've got backups playing over backups.
They played a little bit better when Johnson got in there. They have the same personnel defensively that shut down Zeke, that shut down Saquon.
You watch when a legit defense can game plan for Johnson. First of all, he'll probably get hurt in the next 3 weeks. Number two, you watch when there's a game plan for them. They're going to shut them down, and the offensive line's so bad. The defense is terrible. They can't win games. They can't score.
Let's go to Daryl Beltsville. Daryl, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay, what's up?
My question is, they need to, when the end of the season, they need to fire Jay Gruden. I'm getting tired of the mess because every year we're going to have the same scenario. We're not going to get to the playoffs and then need to draft a quarterback. So I just want all Jay Gruden to be gone because I'm getting at a point that I'm getting tired of him. You can even see by the stadium that everybody left at halftime because the game was worse. So Jay Gruden needs to go.
Yeah.
So he needs to go.
Well, there's a good chance he'll be gone at the end of the year. But even before the game started, there wasn't a lot of fans there. And this is a team that still is in the hunt for the playoffs.
They were a half game behind, and there were 30,000 fans there.
I mean, they're still in the hunt.
The franchise is so low right now. A once proud franchise is so low that no one, if they don't let go of Bruce, I don't know why anybody would re-up and buy season tickets next year. I don't know why anybody.
Yeah, why one person would do it.
I honestly don't know. You're spending all that money and you're leaving at halftime. You're not even going. I know guys that used to have big tailgates. They don't even bother to do them anymore.
My daughter said that yesterday she just noticed people just sitting out in the parking lot with TVs, just watching games out in the park. Didn't even go into the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if they had tickets. Maybe they just bought a parking pass. Did not even bother going into the stadium. And I think there was an announced attendance of 57,000. There's just no chance. No.
Rick Snyder estimated about 30.
Wasn't even close to that.
All right, 800-636-1067 to bang out your calls. We might have one line open. I promise we'll get through them. Don't go anywhere.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.